Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's a good sign that we're already laughing. This is the Best Ever You show, and I'm your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, today. Katie is off on a family matter, and I happen to have my best friend on the phone since, I don't know how long, we've been friends for like, 60 years now or something. Like at least 80 years now.
Pre-birth.
We've been friends since grade school.
We were 10? Yes, we were 10.
We were about 10, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so 10. And there you have it. But okay, we can go now. If you know we're friends, you can just hang up.
Thank you.
That's it. That's a great interview. All right. So this is Kathy Papera. I know you as Kathy Compton, but Kathy Papera, and you are the CEO and founder of LilypadBaby.com. And that's what we aren't here to talk about Muppets and chickens hanging in windows and things like that. We're here to talk. What did you say before we went on the air to your friend? This is my friend that knows where all the bodies are buried. I won't do it, though.
Yeah.
We're going to talk CEO stuff. Keep it very professional.
Okay.
You ready? All right.
Because I'm ready.
Really and truly, it's kind of hard to talk to your best friend on the phone, but I'm, in a business setting, but I'm going to do it anyway. Really and truly, why I have you on here today is because, you are a mom of two, and you own this wonderful company. And it's an inspiration to so many people who want to know how to even just do that. And I kind of want to go back and have you maybe tell people how you started it. I know, so if you could just share the story, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, I think the best part about the story is that there are so many facets that are based on sheer luck. I come from an advertising background and was working when I moved to LA, met my husband, got married, decided we were going to try to start a family. I was working for a small ad agency that was based in high-tech design. So at the time, they wanted to kind of beef up their warm and fuzzy portfolio, and I had already started making baby gifts with my mother. We would, pick fabrics and put bibs together. My mom would embroider the name, and they became very special gifts to my friends and family and my close circle. So I had already started doing that as a hobby. And the owner of the company, of the ad agency and graphic design firm, had decided then that they were going to beef up their warm and fuzzy side of their portfolio, asked if I wanted them to create a brand and a brand identity for my baby bibs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was account planning, just a regular project like we would for any other client, and it turned into this beautiful website.
Empire.
Logo.
Empire,
yes.
Wow.
and still working at the office all day. So I had this other side of my life. I would go home, and at the time I was sewing everything myself. So I'd go to work all day from 9 to 6. I'd come home and then sew until midnight.
Yeah.
Because I did have a web presence and everybody could order online, and it exploded, absolutely exploded. We were thrilled. It just happened to be, the perfect timing for the design firm and the agency for, everybody to kind of switch gears. I stopped working there full time, started working Lilypad Baby, and then, ended up pregnant with my first child. So there were a lot of factors based in luck. Had I not been at the agency, I probably wouldn't have developed the brand with such, high quality talent. Mm-hmm. It's the same brand identity as it's 11 years ago. It just gave me the opportunity that I think a lot of people, unless you, really surround yourself with really good talent, and it's hard to develop that right from the get-go.
The guessing
so
game.
Exactly. So I had all of those things in place and just so happened to have a really solid quality product. So within a few years, we started adding to the product line. Another factor based in luck is where we're located. And Los Angeles has some of the highest quality manufacturing facilities, cutters, fabric cutters that are computer designed by computers, and round products can be cut with a computer. I just happen to be in this area. And I think starting a business, you know, in unless you're in such a, you know, where the resources are so accessible, it's kind of hard to do. So again, based in luck, finding, you know, the right vendors, finding the right cutters, the fabric, everything is here in Los Angeles. So it was very, very easy for me to turn over the manufacturing and be able to know the people that were sewing everything, know the people that were cutting it. I kept everything to my core values of American made. Everything was milled here in America and local, so I could see what was going on. I actually started with the manufacturing facility that was kind of certified by Ben Cohn about 11 years ago. Ben Cohn of Ben & Jerry's decided to develop a company out here called SweatX. And it was he was trying to elevate fabric and soft goods manufacturing outside of sweatshops. Right. And so it was like American Apparel, you know, made here in LA. Everybody had health benefits, vacation days. It just was a different environment than in the kind of arena of manufacturing where just the impression that if it was made overseas, clearly it was made in a sweatshop.
Right.
So he took this whole new direction with SweatX. We started using all of the vendors that have the certification by SweatX and Ben Cohn, and it just finding those quality vendors we still work with today. So outsourcing all the manufacturing. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Well, I was just going to take you back because I want to come back to manufacturing for a minute. And I want to go back to the word hobby just for a minute, because for so many people listening on the phone, there are moms in their homes. Some of us have quit high-profile jobs to stay home with children. Some of us run companies. I mean, there are all sorts of different kinds of moms and women out there doing all sorts of neat things over the Internet and businesses and, you know, entrepreneurial type things. What do you think what do you think makes the difference between a hobby and a business? Because I am so sick of being called, just personally, a hobby. It's a hobby. It's a hobby. It's a hobby. And it seems like people don't take you very seriously at times when you're a mom and running a business from your home. Everybody wants to label you as a hobbyist. And what do you think the difference is?
That is a good question. I took the product to the marketplace in kind of a big scale. I went immediately to the internet, started optimizing the website. I started in interactive media, taking the hobby to the marketplace, finding my niche in the marketplace, and then reaching out beyond the marketplace, right to stores, to wholesales, to showrooms. I think there is it moves, that line moves from hobby to a business when you make the decision that it is your business.
Yeah.
So you have taken it, you've taken it to a business. It's no longer what I do on the side. So the impression that you're giving your friends and family, you're giving your target audience, is this is what you do, and this is who you are. Not, this is my side business, or I do this, but I also do this. So I guess it's a matter of establishing your brand very early on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I completely agree with you. Once, you almost have to completely absorb yourself in it, as though...
Absolutely, right.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you can also remove yourself from the brand. It's like, I'm part of Lily Pad Baby. It's not who I am.
Right.
It's my business. So when I talk about Lily Pad Baby or I market Lily Pad Baby, I don't market it as myself.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that, I think that depends on... a lot of times what you're trying to do on the internet, a lot of the times people are, I'm seeing, like for Best Ever You example, it's a confused sort of it's a confused brand because, you know, there's a spokesperson, there's the owner, you know, it's a media company type mm-hmm. of thing.
Whereas my business is more product based.
Yeah,
so I can
exactly.
be removed. I have a designer. I have a VP of manufacturing. I am not right. the whole business.
Exactly.
So it goes from I was a woman making bibs on my kitchen table at 3 a.m, and now I've outsourced everything. I am, you know, I'm the founder, the business owner, but I'm running the business. I don't make anything anymore.
Got it.
So I think you take it from a hobby. You know,
if you're on a cell phone, you might want to
by establishing.
You.
I'm sorry.
You okay. If you're on a, are you on a cell phone by any
yeah.
chance? Can you
nope,
plug?
No,
is it,
I'm on a landline.
Oh, weird. We have a weird connection all of a sudden. Do you want it?
Okay.
Isn't that fun? I love it when that happens in the middle of radio shows. Do you want to call? It happens too. It happens to the best of the guests. Do you want to do me a favor and hang up and call back in?
Okay. Will
can
do.
You do that for me? And then it'll just I'll put you live on air again. And in the meantime, I'll sing or something. I'll recite the Muppets.
Yes, delight us with a song while I'm gone. I'll be right back.
Okay, perfect. Too much fun. Yeah, it's live radio. You never know what's going to happen. And sometimes that's what happens. The calls don't quite go through. So I'm definitely not going to sing. I'm sitting here with my cat next to me, and we'll wait for Kathy to call back in. In the meantime, you can visit us at besteveryou.com, or you can visit Kathy at lilypadbaby.com, or you can join our community at bestevercommunity.com. We stalled. How was that? Let's see if we can hear you better.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. There we go. That's much better.
Couldn't resist.
Isn't that funny? It's, you know, that happens on radio often. So it goes with the trade. It's like a live shot going down.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to ask you about Lily Pad Baby today, are you having fun?
Am I having fun?
Is it as fun as it was?
Well, it's different. You know, I have to say everybody has been affected in some way by the economy. I think it has gone from fun to focused.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a lot more fun, and now it's a lot more focus. Well, it has. I mean, it does have its, you know, I love working with my customers. I love taking phone calls. I love, you know, learning about new ways to market. And that aspect, I love. I'm still having fun, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But in this economy, I think it's more of a challenge to maximize your advertising dollars, maximize your PR. It's more of a challenge. So in that regard, it's a little less fun because it's so stressful. But I think that's the environment for almost anybody in a even any size company. In retail right now, I mean, they're projecting only a 4% increase in retail. And that doesn't, to me, sound like a change in the economy or an upswing in retail. It's when you're looking at a 4% increase after a, you know, 50% decrease, that's a long hill to get back up on.
Go back up, yeah. We feel it in advertising. Oh, my gosh. You know, when we first started Best Ever You, everybody wanted to advertise, and now it's brutal. If it stays alive because of the advertising market, it'll be a miracle. On that note, too, I'm sure, like me, you've wanted to quit before, where you're just like, oh, please. Have you, how many times, honestly? And
today?
Just,
no.
Exactly. how many times have you wanted to quit, give up, you know, whatever, all of those things, you know? People always say, you know, if you quit, you never know how close you were to success.
Right. I think, well, first, I would really, really hate to use the word quit. I don't think I've ever been in the situation where I'm done, I want to quit. Because it just, the benefits, even in this economy, the benefits of this business far outweigh anything without it. You know, I have such a wonderful situation. I have established an amazing infrastructure. I just don't see quitting being an option. But yeah, of course, I mean, I have that. Oh, I'll tell you exactly. I did want to quit. I can tell you exactly when I wanted to quit.
Well, I'm a business owner. I know that feeling of like, okay. Oh, this is just this.
All right, here is the moment.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, here is the moment. I sat in the chair and bawled my eyes out and said, yep. I want to quit and I want to turn off the website today. Mm-hmm. I came home from the hospital with my son in the little bouncy seat. I set him down. Said, Scott, can you watch him for a second? I have to go deal with something in the back office. And yeah. I went back to work the day I brought my son home. And if I had been in an office, I would have had maternity leave. I would have enjoyed my, you know, postpartum, oh, we're home with a new baby, get everything situated. I literally set him on the floor. He was asleep, and I went to work.
Not necessarily. I've had calls from work at my old job when I was in labor, a call to the hospital room. I don't know if you can be guaranteed that, but I get
right.
I get what you mean exactly. Yeah, there's
it's 24/7. It's 24/7. But it's like I said, the benefits so far outweigh, you know, those times. I mean, within a few days, I was right back to. You know, I was being okay.
I'm
so glad I didn't just turn off the site right there. I would have regretted that decision.
Yeah, I bet. And so we started off with baby bibs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
At the kitchen table.
Yep, baby bibs.
I go to your website now and I'm like, wow, there's a lot. Because I knew you when it was just baby bibs.
Right.
There's a lot
more
than baby bibs now. What do you offer? As products.
Well, you know, that's another thing that because of the economy, we had to get a little more creative. And we had been a website that had one brand for 7 years. We had one brand, and it was just Lily Pad Baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had nobody else on there. And we were just Lily Pad Baby. We had probably 16 styles. Over, you know, 9 different products and
baskets.
And
you named them after the babies, after all your friends' babies, because, like, we had the Quaid bib and
Quinn, exactly. Yep. I know, we've been around so long, those kids are now, what, driving?
Almost, Connor's about to get his license,
So, well, we still do that, and this is how we got a little bit creative. We decided that it would make sense for us to bump up our products, start offering a few other dropship brands. We warehouse very little, but we offer probably 30, I think right now we have 33 different brands that we offer dropship on the site, and that puts us over about 700 SKUs on the website, which is a pretty decent size, but we're still growing. It's one of our goals for the year is to add another 200 to 300 products.
Mm-hmm.
We stick with brands that share our same values, our mom-owned businesses, women-owned businesses. We try to find and source, you know, made in the USA. We do our best to offer, you know, products that are very complementary to Lily Pad Baby products, but we also, we study where people are going on the site. We study where we lose them. We study, you know, keywords that people look, and if they're, you know, oh, I'm looking for a Moses basket. If we get, in 1 month, 5 people looking for Moses baskets, we're going to consider carrying Moses baskets. You know, if the demand is there, we're going to find a source for it. So that took us in a completely new direction. Now, did it eat into our Lily Pad Baby brand? A little bit. I'm sure it did. But it also increased our web presence. It boosted traffic because people were now searching for diaper bags. If we did a good job at optimizing our site for diaper bags, even if we didn't have the diaper bag they were looking for, they at least had an impression of Lily Pad Baby.
Got it.
So,
and we
rely very heavily on repeat business, loyal customers, you know, we tend to see received as a gift being the reason why they came to us. So they've received something from us and saw the value, saw the quality, knew what they were going to, you know, give. Because it's like buying clothes online. If you're not there to touch and feel the quality and know that it's a solid fabric and know that craftsmanship is amazing,
yeah,
you know, we
it.
Get a lot of received as a gift.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
anyway, that is one of the creative ways we decided to kind of try to maintain our presence and add more products so we can appeal to a wider market.
Oh, yeah. And, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
One of the reasons why you're kicking off CEO Week is because you have a company that has just shown tremendous growth. It's a phenomenal story to just see you from day one and watch you maneuver through and grow. What do you think? What do you think is the biggest challenge with growth?
Infrastructure.
Infrastructure
and outsourcing. Well, you can't, if you're one person or two people, you can't do it all. So it's, you want to have the control. And that, you know, it's one of the upsides and downsides of being an entrepreneur. You have the ability to do it all, but you shouldn't, because you will just wear out. You know,
right.
there's an enormous, within 3 years, if you're doing everything, it's almost a guaranteed burnout.
Yeah.
So finding the right infrastructure, finding the right, you know, even if it doesn't seem like it's affordable, it's like, well, I don't want to pay somebody to do my SEO. I want to do it myself. Then obviously you're putting too much value into your talent and not into outsourcing it to somebody who does that for a living.
Right.
So if you can, you know, look at it as I'm not – now my income that I'm making, I'm going right back out. You have to look at it as an investment. You need to invest in your own time. You need to put value in your own time. It's like, should your – you know, if you work 5 hours a day, should 3 of those hours be dedicated to something that a company can do in an hour?
Right.
You know, you need to find the right infrastructure and outsource what, even if you can do it, outsource to free up your time to do something else.
Okay. The other, we actually have a question from somebody emailing on the internet, and they're asking, they said, Miss Papera. Kathy.
How official.
It was official. Have you ever had an investor?
No. 100% self-funded. No investors.
Yeah. No investors.
Well, there was
okay.
a partnership, but it was a, you know, it was sweat equity and, you know, it's
yeah.
the other partner's my mom.
That's funny.
But no investors.
Right.
We were self-funded. My husband and I started. We had no children
investment?
Yet. We were both working. We had saved some money, and we started the business in 2000 with less than $5,000.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. And then, where have you? What do you think is the and don't say best ever you. What do you think is the coolest place where you've been featured in the media so far? If you say best ever you, I'm gonna have to crawl through the phone line because we're not the coolest. You've been all over, like on the Today Show, or have you been on the? I think you've been on the Today Show, haven't you?
No, it was the early show.
We need to put you on there. Yeah, there was something like
yeah.
that. But you've been all over.
it was the early show.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the early show. They had the segment producer, she came out. They filmed for 2 days. And, you know, we really expected, just based on some personal challenges, we expected we were having one child. So she came out and did a whole focus on, you know, my mom, my daughter, me working,
yeah.
and how we set it up. And what we didn't know at the time was I was pregnant with my son.
Yeah. That's funny.
So the whole segment doesn't make sense.
That's
because
okay.
now we have this
you
little
know,
guy running
do?
Around.
Yeah. We all have unplanned surprises.
It was a good surprise. We call him Luke the Fluke.
Luke the Fluke. Oh, well, you know, what are you going to do?
Funny. Best surprise ever. But we were featured on the early show, and it was all about, you know, balancing motherhood and work life. And
isn't that fun?
The whole can be.
There's a whole period of time here that is wild, isn't it? With kids and trying to hold down a job.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Whether it's your job, your company, your whatever, I don't know. Are you Superwoman yet? Do you feel like it? Do you have like a little cape?
Of course.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually Wonder Woman because she carries the ring of truth.
Is it Wonder Woman?
Comes in more handy
Superwoman,
than you would expect.
Superman, whatever you want to be, you know. But isn't it just fascinating how many things we as women do?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I, you know, I feel exhausted all the time. But it's just, I wouldn't have it any other way. I am in awe of people that, you know, families that have, you know, dual income, parents work all day. I'm in awe. I don't know how they hold a house together. I don't know how, because I feel when I focus on work, I'm focused on work. And when I look up, I've got 70 other things to do because I run my house. My husband works crazy hours. We don't see him for days. I do all the school stuff and homework, and I have such a, you know, I'm doing preschool stuff. I'm doing elementary school stuff. It's just, I don't know.
Your phone again,
I need
too.
Another, what's that?
Your phone's going again, too. You get to hang up and call back in. This will be the best radio show ever. Your phone is discharging or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm on one of those old college, like, plug-in to
the
wall
things. I'm on the landline. That's what I'm on, too.
Huh. Yeah, it's definitely fading out again. Do you want to call back one more time?
Okay. I'm moving workstations.
Okay. We're going to take a break from Kathy Papera now. You're going to call right back in again. It's too funny. Okay. Again, go to besteveryou.com while we're waiting for Kathy to call back in. It's a pretty funny. I'm glad this is my best friend on the radio show because the things you put up with for your friends, you know. The cat's still asleep. And please go to lilypadbaby.com. I just love her company. It is the coolest thing. The bibs are just beautiful, and the names are all embroidered and in whatever you order, whether it's here she is again. Whether it's blankets or bibs or whatever. I was just explaining the embroidery. You know how you get the name. I love that.
Yeah.
I just think that's what we still, with all the kids with their baby books and stuff. Mm-hmm. I put the bibs in with their baby books just so they always
that's
have.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
sweet.
They're just as keepsakes.
Yeah. You know, it was a process we figured out very early on. It just made it so much more. It takes a lot more time, but the quality is amazing.
It's
when you do the embroidery and then construct the product, you never see the name on the back. It's automatically, you know, gives it a little more versatility, and our customers really, really love that feature.
Well, my big thing with babies, because mine were, when you started this, I think mine were like 0, 2, 4, and 6, which means the majority of them were in bibs. Was washing everything, and not having it shrink. And that's the one I am a consumer of these. and they're indestructible. I really mean it.
It's good quality fabrics, and then the craftsmanship. Like I said, we've been using the same sewing facility. They're like family, and they put a lot of they really do put a lot of care into the quality of the products.
Yeah. Are you still do you still use Velcro, or are they snapping now?
Nope, still use Velcro.
I was going to say that because sometimes after they go through the wash, they don't Velcro anymore, and yours do.
The trick is to Velcro it before you wash it.
Well, even so, some stuff doesn't, some stuff is just so terribly made that it doesn't, but not these. And they on your bibs, and these bibs that we have here have been through, you know, I don't even want to say what they've been through. I have no idea. I can't quite say what they've been through. But they've been, you know, washed a gazillion times. The Velcro doesn't wear out. The name doesn't come unembroidered. They don't come unstitched. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, mm-hmm. they're indestructible, I swear. They're really neat.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. When we do a lot of product testing. We do a lot of products.
On my family at first. Here, try this and see if it survives.
Yeah. Well, we also, when we add new products, we also send out batches of new products to our loyal customers, and we send them, please use these, you know, you can product test them, you know, as much as you can, wash them as much as you can, and then give us feedback. And we have a whole network of moms that have been so helpful and so, you know, just dedicated to helping us develop really high quality products. So bringing our customers in and being a part of the process, mm-hmm. I think, is also one of the reasons we've been able to offer, you know, the types of products. You know, a lot of moms want just cotton only, or, you know, nothing plushy. You know, we get a lot of interesting feedback, and it's mm-hmm. so helpful for us moving forward. We really wouldn't be able to do everything on our own. We rely a lot on the feedback of our customers.
Yeah.
And we get it. Good or bad.
Free-flowing comments. Okay, we have another question from someone.
Okay.
And they want to know, to be featured, hang on, I've got to read it right here. To be featured on a national program, did you have to hire a PR firm to do that?
You know, that actually, it was great. What's that?
That's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question. At the time, I had a very small firm on a retainer every month, working on PR, mm-hmm. getting product placement, getting, you know, the book sent out to magazines. We've been featured in, you know, all the major parenting magazines.
Yeah.
That was invaluable. Unfortunately, you know, it's one of the first thing that goes when money gets tight. You know, it's hard to keep up, you know, a separate PR agency. That we're, you know, able to do a lot on our own. But that recommendation to get on the show came from a direct recommendation from an association with a mompreneur group.
Yeah.
So the network or the show approached the owners of the mompreneur, the moderators of the organization, and then mm-hmm. they in turn recommended, I think, 6 different mom CEOs. Mm-hmm. So I think it's possible to do it without hiring a PR firm or a publicist. I think it's possible, but I also, if you're just starting out, it would be more helpful and beneficial, even if you hired, you know, just someone who has a specialty in that industry, if you hired them and they did it as a side portion to what they usually do. You know, there are different ways to make that situation work, and you don't have to hire a firm, even though your best option is probably going to be a firm.
Okay.
And one that specializes in your particular industry. But I find that there is huge benefit to finding other, you know, mompreneur groups, mm-hmm. Bulletin boards, memberships in different organizations with like-minded people, and then being active. I mean, it's one thing to just sign up for a mompreneur website, but to be active in the community and offer advice, be on the bulletin boards, monitor the bulletin boards, answer questions. If you become an expert at what you do, and without overselling yourself, as you know, whenever you talk about or answer a question, you're selling your product, it's going to turn people off. But if you're a helpful resource to someone down the road, you may have a connection,
something there, yeah,
and that someone will remember, oh, well, she knows this or he knows that, and that would be more helpful.
Yeah.
So it's becoming an active participant in social networking, in my opinion. And that's, you know, we all know is
it's huge.
Relatively very inexpensive to do, but done well is another challenge.
Yeah. Do you okay, we've got another question here from someone.
Okay.
I was going to ask you something, but I'll ask this instead because these are more important. These are right from your the people listening.
Okay.
Do you have any major or specific goals that you could share with us for your business?
For my business, my major goal is.
Careful, because it could be a competitor. I'm not. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think it's probably a goal of most companies. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I think everybody's goal is to either create a situation that allows you an income, but also allows you to have the flexibility of running your company, but also, you know, being able to live your life. I mean, I think a lot of people would find benefit in selling to another company, selling to a bigger company. And I mean, I would love for that to be an option in the future.
Right.
But I'm not setting up my business right now. I'm not setting it up to sell to the highest bidder, you know? But
right.
I think it's a goal. A goal is to establish the brand, build the brand, and then, you know, possibly sell it.
Got it.
Yep, yeah.
That sounds familiar.
What?
I don't know. All right. So that was.
But
that's
one of my major goals. I think I've set so many goals over the years that I've already established the next goal. Once I made that, I think just maintaining my lifestyle and being able to enjoy it. I mean, that's a goal, even if it doesn't sound like one. It's a goal.
No, it's a good goal. Do you with about 20 minutes left to talk to you, what are some things that you get asked that I'm not asking you?
What do I get asked?
Yeah, what do people ask of you? That I'm not. Does anybody ever ask you business questions or?
Yeah, let me think.
While you're thinking, I'll go to a commercial for lilypadbaby.com.
Yeah.
I do really want people to visit your website while a lot of people are at their computers right now. So make sure you go to Kathy's website. It's lilypadbaby.com, and it's lilypadbaby.com.
Mm-hmm.
If they misspell it, if they do two L's, does it go to your site still? Do you have both those domains?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Okay, yeah. I thought you did because I typed it in wrong.
That was a hideous answer, but it's true. I'm pretty sure I do.
I'm pretty sure I do. No, it's all right. It's us.
I don't know.
Hideous answer.
No, I think there's a question. We probably, a very similar question, but it's, how do I work from home? And when I do work from home, and my canned answer, if you will, is I make it a priority to go to work. We're very lucky. We have a secondary structure on the property, and I get up, get dressed, tell everybody I'm going to work, and I walk out the door, and I go to my back office, and I work. So, and it's a good, even if you have the back corner of the house, you need to set up some boundaries. It's like, I'm working, so, this is my focus time to work.
We share that in common. Definitely, I would tell everybody as a entrepreneur who works from home and has children and is a mom and every other hat that we wear, that is really important.
Yeah.
And I learned that the hard way from not owning a company from home, but rather working for a company from home on very important conference calls with babies crying in the background and so forth.
Right, right.
And there's a gray area there.
Right.
Where you're trying, I know I tried to hold down a job and watch my children at the same time from home, and that is not.
That's a little crazy.
What did you just say, crazy?
That's a little crazy.
That was wild, and I finally learned, I can't be on this conference call with a newborn baby. It's not going to work. Somebody's going to give.
Right. And when you're being pulled in two directions, both directions suffer.
And
because the call doesn't have your attention, the baby doesn't have your attention.
Yeah,
so,
and I can tell you who's going to get the attention is the baby,
absolutely.
Not the call. And so therefore you go down a path of, you're not working
out. Chances are the caller isn't going to start screaming.
No, not to be fed or whatever. Yeah, no.
Yeah, but, or doesn't need a diaper change.
Yeah, so I think, you know, that notion that you can really work productively from home and watch small children from home is not accurate. I totally disagree.
Yeah,
with anybody
who
ever says there. Yeah.
I do too. I try, but it, like I said, if you split your attention, you're not giving either one the right amount of attention.
Yeah. And so, did you hire a nanny or anything like that? Was that there or what?
Well, we have a combination of elementary school, preschool, and then I do have a caregiver that comes a couple times a week. Yeah.
When they were real small, that's what I did. I brought somebody in the house, and I had the luxury of being able to do that. But I also noticed that I changed it up often because I would get sick of who was coming into the house. It bugged me for whatever reason. I don't know. But I changed it up between daycares. You know, I had so many children over the course of, that many years with that many children, getting the right person in my house to watch four children, ages 0, 2, 4, and 6, was a bold person.
Right. And we change course every once in a while. I mean, we've had the same caregiver, for 8 years. But, she's family.
Mine burn out.
My mom. And then we do change course, given the situation. If Scott's on hiatus for 4 months, then, make arrangements for shifting of the schedules.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a lot of cooperation and support. Also, there has to be an internal, a home infrastructure. Not just with your business, but a home infrastructure so that you are able to focus when you need to focus and be a mom when you need to be a mom and drive carpool when you need to drive carpool. The whole family needs to be supportive to help make that balance work.
Yeah, this is it's gotten very interesting on my end as the kids have gotten older. Now they are all in school for the day.
Right.
And so I don't have people coming in my house or worrying about daycare or anything like that. But the day does, I always wonder how people who have jobs outside the home handle the 2:30 or 3:30 children coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, I find that teenagers can get in more trouble when you're not home. I don't know.
Having been a teenager with you,
no
if
comment.
Your kids are doing what we did.
Oh, no. I knew you were going to. Yeah, parents around are fairly important.
Yeah, you get what you gave, honey.
You do. My mom would say, I hope you have 10 and they're all just like you. Oh, gosh, I'm close. But anyway, I just, even though they're grown up and they're coming, there's still a need to for somebody to be here because you can't just leave somebody home alone who's 9.
Right.
So it's still, there's still things to manage and so forth. Do you think that's the toughest part about being a mom and a CEO? Or
I think it is. It's finding striking that balance of being able to, put attention and, it's working efficiently. It's constantly, evaluating your day, maybe the night before or when you wake up, it's evaluating your day so you can work the most efficiently so that when it becomes 2:00, you're not frantic and how am I going to get this done? You get all of your, I need to get this done first thing. So then, maybe if you do need to shoot an email to someone or you do need to follow up with someone that doesn't require a conference call or, you can maybe do that, in a different situation when your kids are home. But it's basically waking up and evaluating your day every day and getting, working the most efficiently you can, checking off your list. I am shocked by business owners and professionals. I'm shocked when I hear people don't make a list. A checklist, a to-do list.
I have to make a list.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know how they keep it all organized.
Yeah, it just. Yeah. I don't know how I would function if I didn't make a task list and a priority list.
That's a really good point. Because my task list is I'm Stephen Covey trained, where it carries over from the next day to the next day. So I haven't been able to get that learning ever out of me. But I want to make a point of kind of what you're saying with my day today. We got up this morning, and three of the four children are home today.
Oh my goodness!
It was a discussion with my husband to say, do I reschedule this call or do I have this call? Mm-hmm. Am I, you know, will kids knock? You know, and I just had one peek through the door and knock, and now. But you know, I'm guilty right now of, my kids are 9, 11. The 9 and 11 year old are home, and the 15, almost 16 year old are home. So he's babysitting right now with the other two. I told him not to cook anything. Don't cook anything. So there's some rules. There'll be no use of fire, exactly. So that was the rule. I said, just don't cook anything. Don't hit each other. Don't. But But I'm on this call with a little bit of a prayer. I walk open the door, going, okay, everybody's good.
Right.
They're usually pretty good, but but you know, they're a little bit in front of movies and so forth right now. And I guess the point is that you can really get your day thrown off,
right?
Or a whole
Absolutely.
Week thrown off, or a few weeks thrown off. How does that affect you when that happens?
Well,
does the company shut down?
No, okay. Company does not shut down. We absolutely can't, because we have products we have to deliver. If someone makes an order, we have got to deliver it. It's not, if we don't deliver, we have their money. There's no option. There's no option for us to shift away from the doors being open.
Right.
But the beauty of having an internet business is a lot of people do their business communication via email. So I have access no matter where I am. If I go on vacation, I still have my laptop. I have access to everything. I can run the entire business, off-site. And I do most of the time. I'm running my business off-site and from home. So the challenge more for me is, the coverage. It's like, can I focus? Did I set up a meeting? Do I need to be at the facility? That's if those come up, then yes, it's relying on what I like to call my village. I rely on my village. I schedule, last minute play dates. I schedule pickups. If I didn't have my social village to cover, I don't know how I would be able to function if I didn't have my friend I could call, hey, can somebody come home with you this afternoon, and then I'll pick her up at 5, that to me
is... The support system is critical, I think.
Well, yeah, and you have to have that support system, and then you have to know how to maximize it. It's like you can't keep asking to, have somebody picked up and then not ever return the favor. We have to be supportive both ways.
Yep.
You have to be available. It's like, I'm done with work, and I'm done with work on Thursday, so I've asked three people to cover for me, in a strange week. Friday afternoon, the play date all day is at my house.
Yeah.
So it's maximizing your support, but also offering your support and figuring out in those situations, the best opportunity for everybody. Because I really do, I try to limit TV time for those emergencies.
That's what I got going on too.
Right.
I try to definitely limit TV time and
yeah,
Xbox
but that's,
time.
But you're using that appropriately.
Yep.
It's like, I need to do this, so here's a movie. Works perfectly. Yep. So I definitely don't have I work in, I'm lucky enough to be focused 5 days a week, most of the day. I focus and get it done. But yeah, there are other situations come up. I need to finish this, that, and the other. Here's
all right, we have another question from somebody. We have a question about customer service. They say, when owning a company that long, You must be a customer service expert. Can you talk a little bit about customer service, especially on the Internet?
Okay. Customer service on the Internet, you know, it's easy. It's easier than you would imagine. Customer service on the Internet is being responsive. It is setting up, you know, a positive experience from the get-go. It's follow-up with a customer. It's, you know, if a customer emails and I don't respond within 24 hours, say if a customer emails over on a Saturday and nobody's here to, respond,
right.
I watch for things like that. Customers, no matter what, on the Internet, they want an immediate response. You give them an immediate response, and you're friendly and helpful and honest. Customers can handle honesty better than the rigmarole. So I say,
I agree. I completely agree. I'd rather tell somebody the way it is rather than
Exactly. Yeah. And customer service, having a positive experience, but being a positive person, you know, being helpful. And, you know, acknowledging, you know, if something's running late or if something wasn't what they expected, you know, taking that personal level, especially, you know, when you're creating the products and somebody sends you an email and says, this is not at all what I expected, you know, this is, I don't like it, it's not my style, you know, you got to take that personal level. Nobody, I mean, you can't find everybody in the world is going to be in love with your products. So you take the personal.
It's an important lesson to learn, isn't it?
It is. And I it took me years to not take it personally.
Me too.
I'd get an email
all the time. Yeah.
Right. I'd get an email that was a little less than friendly and it would just crush me. I'm like, oh, how did they not love that? It was beautiful. And and now I'm like, you know what? I'm so sorry it's not what you expected. You know, and here's the key. It's being honest, being polite, and taking responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many people jaded by customer service because nobody wants to take responsibility. And a customer wants to hear, I'm sorry that this happened, or I'm sorry this didn't work out. You know, being responsible for something and saying, you know, I'm sorry you're not happy, instead of, you know, responding in any other way. And, you know, I find that there's this
disconnect. I've had some amazing customer service responses before.
What?
When you say you're not sorry, when you say you don't like something, and people, if it's a small enough company, where I've gotten emails back from the person completely offended.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
Wrong thing to say.
Wrong thing.
Wrong thing.
You know, or how can I make this right for you? It's not what
you
expected. I don't return personalized items, but how can I make this right for you?
Yeah.
You know,
that's really
engaging
big.
With the customer, engaging in an honest, polite, friendly way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just no other way to do it.
Do you think you have to, it's funny because I was talking with HLN's Robin Mead, probably, I don't know, she was the cover of our magazine a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And she said one of the same things that you and I have said, and that's that not everybody in the world is going to like you, sweetie. And that is hard to learn, though, because, you know, you and I are kind of the same in that regard, where you want everybody to just like you all the time. And,
right.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a product or yourself. You just, you know, you kind of meander through life going, I'm kind of a good person, and why wouldn't you like me? You know,
right.
That kind of thing. But you quickly learn that you're not everybody's, you know, cup of soup for the day. And that's how do you toughen up? My husband says, you know, you better develop a thicker skin than that, Toots.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it takes time. It takes time and it takes the ability to remove yourself from what you create. If you're passionate about it, people will know that. If you love what you do, people will see that. But it's not going to be for everybody. You know? I mean, that's why there's such, you know, diversity within every product line. Not everybody makes the same car. Not everybody makes the same pair of shoes. You know, you can't take it personally. But if you're passionate about what you do and you love what you do and you know you have customers that love what you do, you have to just say, well, that person, you know, this week, this month, that person, if that person doesn't like my product, it's not worth ruining my day or my week because of what they said. Yeah. My time is too valuable. I have, you know, 300 other people that loved what I did this month. You know, it just, you gotta, it takes time, but you have to remove yourself once you're done with the product and they've received it. Remove yourself from their attitude.
Well, you are popular in our question box today.
Oh,
there's another one. We only have five minutes, so I'm gonna skip to the next question. Somebody wants to know if your brands, and I don't know the answer to this. I'm gonna email everybody back with your information and everything. But somebody wants to know if your bibs are available for sale in retail.
Yes.
Can they go to retail stores and get things?
Yes, we have. We sell to about 400 stores across the country.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but, you know, sales have been down. I can't guarantee that the product would be in the store.
Yeah.
There are other websites that sell the products that we, you know, ship to on a regular basis. The stores, we found that we've listed all of the stores that have ever bought our products, and we're finding that, you know, it's so depressing, but in this economy, there are so many small gift boutiques that are just gone.
Out of business.
So
yeah.
We are available if there's an area in particular, you know, I can know, you know, right off the top of my head, I can know if the store's reordered recently, or if I know they have products, or if I've checked in with them and they're good. But
right.
Yeah, we have about 400 stores, and then about another 30 websites.
That? Did you do that? Did you set up all 400 stores? That's a personal question. I'm like, Kathy, did you do that?
No, I started to go to the trade shows that sold. We would get booths at trade shows. We did ENK, we did ABC, the Children's Products Expos, and we would sell directly to the stores. The store buyers would come by and write orders, and then we found showrooms. At one point, we had about 6 showrooms that featured our products, and then the stores would order there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we also get a lot of wholesale requests right off the internet. We have a form on the site. We always give everybody the opportunity to reach us no matter what the question is. We have a whole wholesale form. So if you have a store.
I've contacted you through your website before.
Yeah.
I couldn't find your phone number.
I know. There's really,
Your best friend from grade school is contacting you through your website. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely can reach you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and that's another part of customer service. You know, if you go to a website and it takes 10 minutes just to find a number to call or an email to contact, you're going to lose that sale immediately.
Yeah. Well, you didn't lose mine. You were really speedy on the ball. You know, what is that, Johnny on the spot?
Of course.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. We have two.
Well, I have a good team. I have a good team with like-minded people.
Yeah, well, somebody forwarded it because I said, hey, you know, it's just me. Can you call me?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Yeah.
They were looking at it like, email came back like, you dork, what are you doing?
Anyway. No, I'm reachable.
Yeah, you definitely are. All right, so let's talk websites for just another minute or two here because we only have 2 minutes left, and I want to make sure people know that we've been speaking with you. You're the CEO.
Uh-huh.
And founder of LilyPadBaby.com. This is Kathy Papera, everybody. And your website is LilyPadBaby.com, LilyPadBaby.com.
That's right.
And .com. And, yeah, I'm just trying to sort of wind up the call in a way that makes sense. Just people can go and order. It's a great baby gift, a great baby shop gift.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
and it's gifts and gear, and they're gifts for all seasons. They're gifts for moms, grandmas, teachers. You know, we've really opened up our target audience. We really want people to know there are definitely opportunities for corporate gifts. It's just there's so many. Yeah, and we carry brands that offer such amazing diversity and products you've never seen before and ways to personalize products that just are amazing. And then, you know, we've added the new green section where we found a whole line of, you know, a whole category of companies that are really focused on green initiatives and encouraging kids to, you know, take bag lunches. And so, I mean, we're adding a lot of diversity to the site, and we're growing.
So company and CEO to watch, everyone. My friend, since we were Muppet pals and whatever else we've done, we we posed with the Easter Bunny in Oklahoma, and oh my gosh.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
All right. So thank you so much for being here, and
well,
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I'm proud of you. I love watching what you're doing. I love
it's
it.
Fun, isn't it? All right.
And I'll see you in a month.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right?
California, here I come. Woo! All right, everybody. Kathy Papera, CEO and founder
you.
Of LilyPadBaby.com. All right. Love you.
Thank
see
you for having me.
All right.
I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.